You're listening to The Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
And I wanted to say something else. It was, Allison is real pretty now.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, I like her. Her eyes are big and they're round, and her face is whiter than me.
And she has chubby cheeks that are rosy, huh?
Yeah, and she even has a fat chin. Well, bye, honey.
Bye, sweetheart. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, folks, don't forget that the anti-terrorism bill is passed the House, and it will be merged with S-735 and given a different number in the Senate. We don't know what that number is going to be. And it will be in the House-Senate Conference Committee for a while. And you need to start calling your senators now to get that bill defeated. If they pass this anti-terrorism bill, you can kiss the Bill of Rights goodbye down the tubes. I don't care what form they pass it in, any form. Is going to be a disaster for freedom in this country. So here's the numbers, and write these numbers down because I'm going to give you another bill that's coming up for a vote this week that also could be pretty bad. In fact, will be pretty bad if it's passed. And it has so many different possibilities to it because there's about 32 or 33 amendments attached to it. Anyway, I'll talk about that in just a moment. But here's the numbers for the anti-terrorism bill and the other bill that I'm going to be talking about, which is H.R. 2202. It's in the House. So you'll want to call your senators about the anti-terrorism bill, which is H.R. 2703, which is being merged with S-735 in the House Conference Committee. We'll come out with a totally different number and name probably when they're done. And then you'll want to call your representatives for H.R. 2202, which I'll talk about in just a second. So here's the numbers. 1-800-962-3524. These are the numbers of the Capitol switchboard, folks. You can reach anybody through these numbers. 800-962-3524. 24, and shame on you if you don't know who your representatives and senators are. 800-972-3524. That's 800-972-3524. Or 800-872-8513. That's 800-872-8513. Once again, 800-962-3524. 800-972-3524 or 800-872-8513. What am I doing here? Oh, yeah. H.R. 2202 is an immigration bill, or at least that's what they say. And this is important. Listen to me very carefully. H.R. 2202, that's H.R. 2202, will be brought to the floor of the House for amendment and vote this week. This week, folks. The rule bringing H.R. 2202 and 32 amendments, H.R. 2202 plus 32 is 33, in case you don't know that. And if you don't understand what that means, I don't have time to explain it to you. But most of you who've been listening to this broadcast for some time know exactly what it means. 2202 plus the 32 amendments is 33. So it has a possible 32 amendments that are going to be attached to this bill, H.R. 2202. It's scheduled to come to the floor for a vote sometime this week. We don't know exactly when. And the final vote on the bill, as amended, will probably occur this Thursday, March 21st. This Thursday, March 21st, will probably be the final vote. If not, it will be Friday, unless something happens. Now, this bill provides for a prison camp pilot project. It's part of both the House and the Senate versions of this bill. Now, who are these camps for? And when did they start introducing the same bill into the House and the Senate at the same time, ladies and gentlemen? What in the world is going on here? I mean, this is a concerted effort. Every single bill that goes into Congress, I mean, there's no representative that introduces a bill that starts in the House and then goes to the Senate. Every bill that's introduced, as you see, they're not written by senators and representatives anymore. In fact, they don't have anything to do with them. They don't even read them. All they do is read little summaries that are provided for them by the scum-sucking socialist pigs, puke-ball slimes that really write these things and foist them onto Congress. And introduced in the House and the Senate at the same time in different versions. They come to vote, and then if one fails, the other one passes, and it's just almost a sure thing. So you really got to fight this. Section 112, that's Section 112 of H.R. 2202, provides for the establishment of prison camps on closed military reservations as part of a pilot project. A parallel section is part of the Senate immigration bill. Although H.R. 2202 says that these prison camps are for illegal aliens, there is legitimate and serious uncertainty, ladies and gentlemen, as to whom the government intends to place in these camps. And here's why. You see, the definition of alien in both bills could include sovereigns with only a minor amendment to existing law. Very easy to do. And, of course, for all you fools that have renounced your citizenship, you are automatically an alien. In 1988, the Stuart B. McKinney Homeless Assistance Act provided for building homeless housing as temporary housing for homeless Americans on closed military bases. Can you see them rounding up all the homeless people and giving them homeless housing on closed military bases that turns out to be prison camps? Note 10 to 28 of USC 2832 provides for the construction of prison camps on closed military bases to house federal criminal prisons and federal drug rehabilitation centers. Also, Public Law 100-290, I believe it is, provides for closed military bases to be used for mental rehabilitation centers. Section 20413 of the Violent Crime Control Act of 1994 provided for a study by the Attorney General to determine if closed military bases could be converted to house persons convicted of crimes under federal law. Now, you tell me after hearing this who these prisons are for. Homeless Americans, sovereigns, foreign aliens, criminals, drug addicts, or someone or something else. Well, I'll tell you what I told you in my book when I wrote it years ago. It's for patriots and militia members who will be called terrorists. And patriotism will be deemed to be a psychotic mental illness in the New World Order. Now, what you need to do now is tell your congressman that you are opposed to the passage of any immigration control bill, including H.R. 2202. It provides for establishing prison camps on closed military bases. And it also mandates an identification card for employment to prove that you are not an illegal alien. So there's the national ID card in this thing, too. As time permits, contact as many other people with this information, as many other members of Congress, as you can, folks, starting with the freshmen and sophomores. And just pray that they haven't been converted yet. They will be at some point. We're entitled, folks, to an explanation of all of this stuff. And actually, we're entitled not to even have these things. No prison camps. No ID card with biometric identifiers, no kangaroo courts, no federal privilege to work, no H.R. 2202. You understand that? So get to work. If you don't get to work and you don't do anything about it, then you're going to get what you deserve. Unfortunately. And there's a lot more to all of this, folks, and I'm sure that You're beginning to understand that. It's getting worse and worse every day. Congress is full of traitors. Washington has already suffered an insurrection. The nation is in control of the enemy. Don't go away. We're going to talk about how they have coerced our young people into accepting this. You're going to go to school. And I can see the teacher, Kathleen Marquardt, coming down the hall right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the president has decided that you are listening to the most dangerous radio talk show host in America. Rush Limbaugh has been kicked off the field. Kathleen, welcome to the Hour of the Time.
Well, thank you for having me back, Bill.
You're welcome. You're going to talk about education tonight.
It's called education.
Well, it started out to be many years ago, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
And for many years, we had the best education system and the most literate and educated population in the entire world. What happened?
Yeah, isn't that incredible? I mean, we were on top of the world when we had the most educated people. What happened is what has happened in every other aspect of our lives. People who want power, people who want to control us, have taken over. And they were smart. They listened to was it Karl Marx? Excuse me. They said, "Give me the children until they're six and they're mine forever." They're taking over our children, and it's called from the womb to the tomb. You're supposed to be educated, but it really isn't education. It's some people might be polite and call it indoctrination. It's brainwashing.
Yes.
They're deciding our children aren't tested for their academic knowledge. They're tested on their values, attitudes, and beliefs.
And their political correctness.
Exactly.
If you go to college, and it is well known now that all of the colleges and universities are in the possession of the Marxists and the socialists. If you're sitting in a classroom and you espouse any other ideas or write papers espousing any other ideas other than Marxist socialism, for instance, if you were to write a paper in an economics class espousing the beliefs of our founding fathers on what would be a good economic system, you would fail that class.
You probably would in just about every university in this country.
Yes.
I think it was in the Wall Street Journal yesterday or the day before, maybe today or yesterday, that even George Washington University or Georgetown University and another major university in this country no longer teach Shakespeare or Chaucer. they feel that Shakespeare didn't treat women well in his writing.
Actually, what Shakespeare was doing was calling the world's attention to the treatment of women in his age in a way where he wouldn't be punished for it.
Yep.
And he did a very good job of it.
Both of my daughters are in college right now. And hopefully I have educated them well before they got there.
The reason they really want to get rid of Shakespeare and Chaucer and all of the classics is they teach you to think.
Yep.
You can't read those books without thinking. You can't engage in the study of any kind of a classic without thinking and learning to think and learning to use your own mind. And that's not all. They're getting rid of the philosophies. In fact, a traditional, what we used to call a traditional education, has disappeared.
Mm-hmm. And people are just finally waking up to this. I know Lynn Cheney did a lot on what's being taught and what's not being taught in the schools, and the focus is on negatives, on Watergate, on McCarthy and Richard Nixon and the Ku Klux Klan. They're pushing diversity, gender roles, multiculturalism, and they're eliminating some of the most important things. I mean, D-Day, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson are not in our history books anymore. The Federalist Papers.
More important, the Constitution is not in there.
Absolutely. How are our kids? I can say, you know, the only things our kids learn about are very minor things, and how are they going to realize what made this country great when instead of being told to look at the stars, they're looking at streetlights and thinking that's as high as you need to look?
Well, there's an agenda there. They don't want people to understand what this country once was, because they have to destroy this country to create the open world utopian government that they want.
Absolutely. And you know what? They're doing a darn good job right now of getting what they want, because most people figure it can't happen here. It isn't going to happen to us. Bill isn't going to let it happen. Kathleen isn't going to let it happen. So let's just sit back. What they don't understand is when our kids are very, very young, like before they get into school, they evaluate them and they decide where they're going to direct them. And if they decide that this kid is smart enough to go into computers, they teach them computers. But they don't teach them geography and history and English. They don't need to know those things. They don't want our kids to know how to spell. They call it creative spelling. They want ignorant dunces that are just going to do what they're told and only know their one field of endeavor.
Yes, and that's the old Soviet system, where they chose children at a young age who had particular talent in a certain area, and they would then channel them into schooling that would take them on one path for the rest of their life, and no matter what happened, they could not change that path. Unless, of course, they were on a path to be a gymnast and they broke their leg and the leg would never function properly again, then they would be channeled probably into a manual labor or some other field where they could function, as a good member of the peon class and do their job. And what do they call that now? I mean, they're introducing that into our schools now.
Outcome-based education.
But isn't there something else that they call the, it slipped my mind right now, where they're going to be channeled into specific occupations? Is that part of outcome-based education?
That is part of the whole outcome-based education, that it's Goals 2000, or the Schools to Work and Lifelong Learning programs that they have.
Uh-huh.
Goals 2000 is what is funding these programs, but it's called Goals 2000 or Schools to Work.
Yeah.
And what they're doing, you know, besides, you know, putting our children in the slot, and I can't even imagine. I remember in high school, and even when I got into college, I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. How can a five-year-old, of course, they don't get to choose anyway, so it doesn't matter, but besides just programming them in one area, they're also brainwashing them at the same time with what I call green speak, radical environmentalism, and all these other so-called earth-worshipping things that are teaching our kids so that they hate humanity. You know, we're evil, awful, blood-sucking creatures that if the world were rid of us, gee, what a nice place it would be. The lion would lie down with the lamb and not have it for dinner.
Well, I don't know who's going to believe that, because I think if you took all the humans off the earth, the lion's still going to eat the lamb. I don't care who says what. It's going to happen.
Well, you know, you say that and I say that, but the wackos in the world really don't. I mean, they think if they wish hard enough, it's going to happen.
No, Kathleen, they don't think, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
They've been indoctrinated by somebody else already. The problem with them is they don't think. They've lost the ability to think. If they sat down for 10 seconds and thought for 10 seconds seriously about what they're espousing, they wouldn't espouse that, because it makes them look like the dumbest, stupidest fools on the face of this planet.
You're right. You're right. But they don't. You're right. They don't think. Except there are some people that have a certain amount of intelligence that are running these, you know, the animal rights movement, etc. And they do have a certain amount of intelligence. It's just, it's worked. They don't think with logic and reason and sound science. They use emotion and mysticism.
Yeah, but that's not thinking. That is exactly what you call it, emotion and mysticism. It has no thought process connected to it whatsoever. It's, this subject makes me feel all mushy in my heart, and I feel sorry for those poor little things, and you know, those lumberjacks that are chopping them all up into pieces, and they're terrible beasts.
Yep, absolutely, and these people have got people worshiping those trees and equating a lumberjack cutting them down to murder.
And it starts in school, doesn't it?
It starts in school.
What grade?
Kindergarten. The first thing, you know, one of the first things they teach the kids, oh, animals are our friends, and we don't eat our friends, or our food doesn't have faces, and they go on from there. The incredible thing is parents pick up a school book, and it says, well, we're teaching the kids critical thinking, and we say if they understand critical thinking, they can overcome this. But you look at the critical thinking they give them. They say, okay, America's meat eating is destroying the world's rainforest. So now you're going to use critical thinking, and you're going to solve the problem. What do we do about this? And I don't know. I would like to know how many kids say, wait a minute. If we're going to use critical thinking, we have to say, is it true that America's meat eating is destroying the world's rainforest? Because that's where they get us. That's where they get the parents. They always start with this given, which is supposedly a concrete fact, which is their pure gobbledygook, pure garbage that they're shoving into our children's
fantasy.
Yes.
We have no control over, there's no rainforest in this country except in Hawaii. And nobody in Hawaii is cutting that rainforest. No American is cutting a rainforest that I'm aware of.
It isn't from our meat eating. The rainforests are either because the farmers have been paid to cut it down to grow crops, or and the bigger reason is because they're growing drugs, and it takes something like 19 or 20 hot baths that they burn the wood from the rainforest to make cocoa leaves into cocaine or whatever it is.
What's that got to do with Americans or meat eaters?
Oh, because no, they want us to. We're off.
Yeah, I know. I'm just.
No, I know what you. Let me. You hit on something I think is so important. We keep hearing how awful we Americans are. We use so much of the world's resources, and we're so terrible, and if we didn't have all these factories and everything, we wouldn't be polluting and everything. And yet you stop and take a look, and who has the highest environmental standards in the world? We do. And you say, wait a minute, if we're doing all this degradation, how can we? And the answer is two things. One, we use our brain and we clean up the messes we make. But number two that is so important is you have to have all the necessaries in life, food, clothing, shelter. You have to have a high standard of living before you give a hoot about your environment or the animals or the air or anything else. And because we have such a high standard of living, we care about those things. We take care of our environment. We respect the animals. We want to protect everything. It's the third world countries that are being held down because they're not allowed to have our technology. They're going to pollute the air and the water and everything. They're the people that have terrible environmental standards. They're producing 20 kids and hoping that two will live to take care of them in their old age. The only reason they protect rats is because they want to eat them for dinner that night. And people never stop and say, wait a minute, here's what the truth is. And we're the ones that are being blamed for it.
Yeah. Also, Kathleen is one of the things that is one of the biggest lies is that we're destroying the environment. The truth is that for many years in this country, due to the expansion of the population and people moving out and claiming land and clearing it, and business growing and industry and everything. We did rape the environment. We did pollute the environment. We did kill off almost all of the wild game on this entire continent. We did chop down almost every forest that existed on this continent. And around 1920, that began to reverse itself. And people looked around and said, and there was no environmental movement whatsoever. These were just people. And private property owners looked around and said, hey, we've got to do something to change this. And they began conservation efforts and planting trees. And when they would chop down a tree, they would plant two. And they began soil conservation. And they started saving animals and raising them in preserves in order to protect them and regenerate the herds. At one point in this country, you couldn't find a longhorn steer or a buffalo anywhere. And now look at what there is, and it's not because of environmentalists or Greenpeace or any of these other people. It's because of just plain old Americans.
Yeah, it's private property rights.
That's correct.
Meaning that you want your children and your grandchildren to be able to have what we've got. And when they were raping and pillaging this earth, they didn't know what they were doing. I mean, it wasn't like they were just, let's go out and do it.
No, they actually believed that it was never ending.
Yep. And once we realized what we were doing wrong, we started correcting it. And that's the important thing to understand. You have to let man correct his mistakes. I mean, we're not out to ruin the earth because most of us have kids.
Yeah.
We care about them.
But that's one of the biggest lies, is that we're destroying the forests, we're destroying the animals. The truth is we have brought the forests back, we have brought the animals back, and we have done it without all these Greenpeace and animal rights and tree huggers and all these other people. We did it long before they ever came along or even knew or understood any of this or got their brainwashing and started thinking with their heart instead of their brain. The truth is there are more forests in this country than there was in 1920. In fact, a lot more. In fact, there's so many more trees today because of what private property owners, lumber companies, and businesses and corporations have done in order to reverse the trend that was happening in the last century. And more. And at one point, you couldn't find a wild antelope, a buffalo, elk had almost disappeared from many areas in this country. Deer were thinned down to the point where they had to close hunting in most states for a long period of time. And Now, I can't go for a drive where I live without seeing wild antelope, deer, elk. In fact, you have to be very careful that you don't run into one. They're so plentiful now.
Yep.
Okay, we got to take a break. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back and continue your education. Gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading, your friends in Phoenix who've got all the gold, and they're willing to share it with you. Actually, folks, they don't have all the gold. They're just set up to make sure that through their ability to trade in large amounts, they can get it to you for a reasonable price. Of course, taking into consideration the risk they take for you, because they guarantee what they do. They record every conversation. They record the conversation between you and the person before what you have purchased is even shipped, about 3 days after you made the original deal. And then they give you a buyback policy, which nobody else does. All these fly-by-night, well, I won't say, but the people who just pop up for a couple of years and then they're gone, and then they pop up somewhere else under another name for a little while and then they're gone. And they give you real low prices, and yeah, they'll tell you that somebody else took you for a ride when you call them up and say you paid X number of dollars for a St. Gaudens gold piece. They won't tell you, though, that the year of that gold piece that you paid for is extremely rare and worth more than the average St. Gaudens. So they tell you that you got gypped, and if you'll deal with them, they'll give it to you at a much lower price. Well, not being knowledgeable about gold or silver coins, you fall for it, and you end up losing money. Yeah, it's happened several times that we have had to educate people so that they don't get taken by these fly-by-nighters. And folks, they're all over the place. If you don't really know what you're doing, if you're not an expert on gold and silver coins, folks, you can't just call around
and say, hey, how much for this and how much for that? You're going to get taken. Somebody's going to give you the cheapest coin for what you think is a real cheap price compared to everyone else. When everyone else is trying to sell you a quality coin, one that is worth something, that has a rare date, that is in better condition. There are all kinds of things that come into play. And I see it happen to some of the best people. They get taken all the time. That's why Swiss America Trading has a guarantee. That's why they take the phone conversations. That's why they don't pull any shenanigans with you. If you pay a lot for a coin with Swiss America Trading, it's because it's worth a lot. It's rare. It has a rare date. It was minted in small numbers. It has a large demand. There are a lot of reasons. They also have a buyback policy. They will agree with you on the phone to buy whatever you purchase from them back, no matter what the circumstances are, at a predetermined price. Even if the value of that metal and that coin goes to absolute zero, they will pay you that price. Now, how about that? Nobody else will give you those kinds of guarantees. You see, that's a terrible risk. That is a terrible risk. They do it because they care about you. They do it because I insist that my sponsors have the highest qualities of service, value of their goods, and honesty. Or they can't sponsor this broadcast. And because of that, folks, if they fail, if it turns out that you call me and say, hey, I think I got gypped, and I look into it, and we listen to the tapes, and you did, they'll make it good instantly. And if they won't, I will, and they will cease to be the sponsor of this broadcast at that very second. That's the kind of people they are, and that's the kind of man that I am. And if I have to sell everything I own to fulfill my obligation, I'll do it in a second. I'm attached to the spiritual world. I have no attachment whatsoever to any material possessions in this entire world. I have them when they're necessary to serve a particular need. When that need is over, I have no need of those material possessions. So call Swiss America Trading now at 1-800-289-2646. And think about this, folks. If you're in love with material possessions, you are the slave of those possessions, and you are the slave of those who can manipulate your ownership or cause you to go in debt to own those possessions. 1-800-289-2646. Take a portion of your assets. Put them in to the only real money that's ever existed in the history of the world. And if everything comes crashing down, you can provide for yourself and your family. But don't fall in love with those coins or the value of them. Because the manipulators will cause the market to crash. Gold and silver will go up. When they begin to go up, they will open their vaults and flood the market with gold and silver, and the price will plummet. And if you're in love with material possessions or money, you'll get scared and you'll dump them at a low price. And then you'll be with nothing and you will not survive. Those who can keep from falling into that trap and hold on to what they have until it's all over will be the king of the market in any alley, in any country of the world.
Today's special is Springfield Soul Stew. We sell so much of this, people wonder what we put in it. Well, we're going to tell you right now.
You see, folks, the socialists don't understand. There's more than one way to cook a rabbit.
Now I need a pound of duck.
Welcome back, Kathleen. Why don't you give us a little explanation? What exactly is outcome-based education?
Well, outcome-based education, I think, to put it simply, is brainwashing our children into becoming robots for the police state that we're facing.
How do you define it, though? I mean, how would a parent know if their child is undergoing this outcome-based education if they were to walk down to the school and ask a few questions?
The easiest way is to ask if the school gets federal funding. If it does, you're going to have it. Really, any school has it. Even the private schools are going to have to have the same. The students are going to have to pass the same test.
Why?
Because you're going to have this card that the student's going to have it. I think it's called the initial mastery card that says that they have passed all of the necessary requirements. You won't be able to get a job. You won't be able to get a driver's license or anything without this job, without this card. So no matter what kind of school you're going to face that. It's called a certificate of initial mastery. Yeah, you like that? So the solution isn't to homeschool. The solution isn't for private schools. The solution is to take back our schools and to take back our government. And I mean that's long term. That's not short term.
How do you propose that we can do that? I mean, the federal government is gone. It's been gone for years. There's nobody there that represents us, nobody that cares about us, nobody that listens to us.
Well, I guess, what are you doing here and what am I doing here? We have hope. There's a couple of alternatives, I guess. We can hope it'll all crash in on itself and we start all over. Or we immediately start taking it back. The American people are strong. They're listening to you every night, right?
Yes.
They've got to believe in you. They've got to believe in what you say. They got to know it's true in their gut, even if they are too afraid to say it in their communities. Well, they've just got to. The greatest thing is when you say, "This is what I know is right, and I'm going to stand up for this no matter what." It feels so good when you say that. When the first time you say it, you go, "Wow, I've always been a little too meek to open my mouth," and gee, it feels good. And once people start doing that and empower themselves, if you want to use that socially correct term right now, we could make it happen. But we gotta want to do it. Somebody said the American people get the government they deserve, and we deserve it. We, our parents, their parents, didn't give a damn about what went on in the government as long as they were feeding their families and leading the American way of life. It didn't happen in a vacuum.
No. I have to make a correction here. I brought this in. I was going to do it at the beginning of the broadcast, but I forgot about it. Last night, we were talking about the New World Mine.
Yes.
And I said that it was Yellowstone National Park.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's near Yosemite.
No, it's by Yellowstone.
Are you sure?
Absolutely. It's here in Montana.
Yes. But we talked about Yosemite, didn't we?
No, we talked about Yellowstone.
We did?
Yes.
Are you sure? You see, all my life I've gotten Yellowstone and Yosemite mixed up.
Two parts that start with Y-O.
Well, I don't know why.
Yeah.
My grandmother worked at one of these parks when I was a little bitty kid. And somehow when I was a little bitty kid, I got Yellowstone and Yosemite mixed up. So even when we went, even when I took my family to Yosemite National Park, I found myself calling it Yellowstone. And so it wouldn't surprise me. I got a fax today. One fax. Nobody else called. Nobody else said anything. So you might be right. We might have been talking about Yellowstone National Park. In fact, I think we were too. But anyway, I got this fax that said that I said it was Yosemite. And I wanted to make that correction that it is Yellowstone.
Right.
Just in case I really did say it was Yosemite, because I do it all the time. It's not unusual for me to do that.
It's not a crime to make a mistake.
No, but on this broadcast, if we make a mistake, we correct it. Unlike other broadcasts who let it go forever, we try to put the truth out here. In fact, we do. And in fact, I can tell you right now, Kathleen, this broadcast, the only broadcast left in the entire world that propounds truth, cites sources, lists documentation so that the listening audience can go find out if it's true or false. And if we make an error and somebody calls our attention to it, we make the correction on the air. In our newspaper, Veritas, which is a full-size newspaper that goes to everybody in Washington, if we make an error, we don't print a little tiny retraction buried back in the classified ads or something. We print it in the middle of the front page.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have to do that. I have the same rules the way we live. If I make a mistake, I'm going to be pounced on forever for it. We made a typographical error and put Charlie Rose, a senator from North Carolina, and wrote that he was from Georgia. And we got so much static over that. Oh, look, they made this mistake. Well, you know, a typo saying he was from a different state. I mean, that wasn't, we weren't lying about him or anything. And we had corrected it. But
yeah.
I get the same thing you do. But we have to be out there with the truth, because that's our weapon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have to use to get this country back on course.
What do we do about our children who are in these schools to keep their brains from being destroyed?
Well,
I know what I'm doing here, but what would you do?
Well, what I did with my kids is we did a lot of work at home. Had them reading a lot of things. We discussed things every day.
But you let them go to school, public school?
Until I found out. Then they went to private school, and then I was in the private school all the time dealing with this situation, too. If I had known better at the time, I would have homeschooled. I wish I had.
That's what we do here. My daughter's 5 years old. She can read. She can count to 100. She acts more mature than the average 10 or 11 year old. It's absolutely amazing what homeschool can accomplish, and she has the same brain as all these other kids. She's no genius. She wasn't born as any kind of exceptional child. She's just a normal child. But because she was taught here at home, and she's around adults more than she is around children, she exhibits all the symptoms of being 11 or 10 or 11 years old instead of 5.
With a brain.
Yes, with a brain, and she thinks. and it's amazing to see a 5-year-old child sit down and think and solve a problem. But anyway, I'm not here to promote my children. I just use that as an example.
Well, you're doing do as I do.
Well, it's not do as I do. It's an example to let other people know that if I can do it with my 5-year-old, they can do it with theirs. Hopefully, they'll get that message.
The schools and the media try to tell people that they, you know, you're not competent to teach your children. Well, you're more than competent. One thing, a what they're teaching in our kids in school today, they don't want them to learn higher mathematics. And by higher, I mean multiplication and division. They say, oh, well, they have calculators. They don't need to learn how to multiply. They don't need to learn how to read because they probably won't need that in their job anyway. So, even, you know, homeschooling, there's a lot of textbooks there that you can get and teach your children from. And yes, they're going to have to pass certain basic minimum standards. Well, you're going to teach them a lot more than that by the time they're in third grade. What you look at what our kids are coming out of high school knowing, they don't know how to read or write or even balance their checkbook. It's scary.
That's right.
But they do teach them how to use a condom on a banana.
What in the world use has a banana for a condom?
Well, it probably is much better than some other things.
Got to have a little humor once in a while. It gets a little oppressive.
You got to have a lot of humor.
Absolutely. What are you doing now? Where are you going now? Do you have an itinerary? Can people out there watch for you? Are you going to be speaking somewhere? Or?
Well, I'm going to be in New York, not this weekend, but the following weekend. I'm going to be speaking in a place called Turin, New York. Turin. I just found out today, it's been such a big hit. We're going to have something like 6 television stations and all these newspapers there and everything, that people are so excited that we're going to do it in Ithaca on Saturday night. So I'm going to be there. And people can call me because we're going to be setting up speaking engagements around the country. I'm speaking with the president of American Policy Center, Tom DeWeese, and another man on OBE, and we're also putting together a speaking tour on private property rights.
Uh-huh.
So I'm out there doing a lot of talking.
And when and where are you going to be at these locations? I'm sure we have a lot of listeners in New York.
I'm going to be at the local high school in Turin, New York. I'm going to be near Boonville. If people call me, I can tell them where it's going to be.
You want to give out your phone number?
Sure. It's 406-442-5700.
Okay, say that again.
406-442-5700.
Okay, folks, you heard her. 406-442-5700. Give her a call. She'll tell you where she's going to be speaking. And you might just want to call her and thank her for all that she's been doing. But if you do, I know a lot of you like to talk a long time. Please, you know, give her a break and don't tie up her phone too long so that somebody else can call and talk and get the information where she's going to be. And please don't call her tonight after the broadcast because she's probably going to want to be going to bed.
Well, that's my office phone. But you can also call and we'll set up a speaking engagement in their town. I mean, we're open. We want to get the word out.
That's a good idea. In fact, that's a great idea. And why don't you guys, all of you out there listening, instead of sitting on your couch tomorrow, get up and do something. Call Kathleen and set up a speaking engagement in your local church, your local high school, your local college gymnasium, or the Elks Club down at the VFW, wherever you want. What I like to do is rent the local Masonic Hall and use it for something other than subverting the Constitution.
I love it. You got a great sense of humor.
Well, some people don't think it's so great, and some people don't think it's so funny. But anyway, well, Kathleen, I really appreciate your coming on and being a guest and letting people hear some of your ideas and thoughts on a lot of these issues. And I certainly hope you continue. And the people out there listening don't know, but we had a call with some airtime and satellite time and even television time. So we're going to hook you up with them tomorrow. And we'll see what comes out of that. I don't have any idea what's going to transpire or even that anything's going to transpire, but at least it's a start.
Well, thank you. thank you so much, Bill. I really appreciate all you've done and for inviting me on, and I'm here.
Well, I think you've done an awful lot. I mean, I was so impressed, and I realize you're at sort of a disadvantage here because this isn't your broadcast, and you didn't prepare a show or anything like that. But I've got to tell you, folks, when this woman has her show and she's on the air, she is like a stick of dynamite planted under the butts of socialists, and it makes them stop that big sucking sound. Socialism sucks, ladies and gentlemen, and so do socialists. Thank you so much, Kathleen.
Thank you, Bill.
And good night, folks. And God bless every single one of you.
Can you hear me in the booth?
Loud and clear, Lisa.
Oh, good. Thank you, sir, for letting me be in a real studio. It's a genuine thrill, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, in trying to fill all the orders from our recent sale, we literally burned out some of our best and most expensive equipment. So some of your orders are going to be delayed. We're spending an awful lot of money to have this stuff done by outside suppliers, and it's really taken a big bite out of what we hope to get from the sale, but you are the most important people in this sale, and we're going to get your tapes and videotapes to you. Just be a little patient, because it's going to be a little bit longer than what you thought.
No synthetic sound, please. I want all live musicians.
Ladies and gentlemen, according to the President of the United States, William Clinton, you have been listening to the most dangerous radio talk show host in America. Make sure that you tune in every single night, WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, or satellite G2, which is Galaxy 6, Channel 14, 7.56 audio. We'll be right back. ladies and gentlemen, it's not really this radio talk show or me that makes this broadcast dangerous. It's the truth. It's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why this is the most dangerous radio broadcast in America. Washington is occupied by the socialists, the enemy. The insurrection has already occurred.
Now listen.